This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Where we're getting closer and closer to the scariest time of the year. So coming up in this hour, we're going to talk about Halloween and the scariest movies of all time. Also, we're going to have a conversation with a couple of great authors a little bit later in this hour. But first at the top, this is do or die for Joe Biden. The president, the pressure is on because there's a couple of big items on his agenda that if they crumble will not do well or bode well for his administration. And one of them is this infrastructure plan because of the disagreements over the proportion, the size, the scope of what it is. But this was a big part of his domestic agenda and what he ran on, in fact. So we have a delayed vote, and the whole idea is, and what's going to happen to infrastructure as people are wrestling in different parts of the country with dollars and cents, and there are some critical areas with bridges and roads, and this could be jobs. But it's such arm-twisting and haggling, and it's like we're at a flea market trying to figure this thing out, and it's about what's in the ask that is not acceptable for the Republicans who have said, and even Joe Manchin, the West Virginia Democrat, Senator Manchin, he is not on board with it. And also the Senator Sinema from Arizona, also in that same situation of, I'm not so on board with this, right? So the proposed vote was the kind of a culmination of a day of that kind of thing, of feuding with parties, et cetera, and shuttling between the White House and the Capitol and trying to broker an agreement. But it was unsuccessful again and again. And that happened last week. And so here we are at the same thing of trying to figure out whether or not, you know, we're going to see an agreement or there's not going to be an agreement. And it really is looking like, what is the spending bill going to look like? And are we going to raise taxes? I mean, that's part of this, right? Manchin was pretty clear that the $1.5 trillion was the price tag he was willing to settle on for the party's plan to expand the social safety net even, right? I mean, he was pretty adamant about that. So will this bipartisan infrastructure bill actually happen? Bigger than that, because that does affect you, but bigger than that, that absolutely affects all of us, is this whole debt ceiling nonsense where some people don't understand. Well, what is the debt ceiling? We're in so much ridiculous debt. That means we're not paying the bills, right? When it comes to the 18th, we've got bills that are due. The United States of America, it's never defaulted. So what is the real world consequences of not raising the debt ceiling? How do we avoid a potential debt default? October 18th is the arbitrary date that's been thrown out. And one of the fiercest opponents to changing the filibuster rules, by the way, is Joe Manchin, who insisted on Tuesday that Congress wouldn't let the country default, though it's still highly uncertain if he and the other 49 Democrats are going to vote to change the rules, even temporarily. Joe Biden called the prospect of Democrats adopting a carve out of the filibuster rules a possibility. So they're discussing what they can do, what administrative procedures to avoid the default if, you know, if it doesn't if it doesn't happen on the Hill. Even at a caucus lunch on Tuesday, Democrats talked about some options on how to proceed, given that the Republicans are definitely planning to filibuster the debt ceiling hike on Wednesday. So that's going to deny Democrats the 60 votes needed to proceed toward the final up or down vote in the very evenly divided Senate. So tick, 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 October 18th or sometime around that, is it going to be a demand of budget reconciliation? I don't know. What is Plan B? That's what we're curious about. What is Plan B, and what does it mean for all of us? There would definitely be an economic squeeze if something isn't happened here. Definitely. And there are options, but a lot of them are not good options if we look at that way, right? You look at the budget process, and Democrats would be required to specify the exact amount they would increase the country's borrowing limit by, even as the debt stands at nearly $29 trillion. Wow, $29 trillion. It's just crazy to wrap your mind around that number, isn't it? But this is a number that has been climbing. This is a number that we, every time it comes up, we look at the debt. It's always, we always feel like it's outrageous. And we're playing the same games. We're going to the same circus, right? It hasn't changed. Some of the players have, but it's the same deal. Same deal. Supreme Court, the next couple of weeks is going to get really interesting. I talked about this to kick off the week in our first show of the week, because for the first time in more than a year, the Supreme Court has convened for this new term to hear some pretty divisive issues at a time when there's a lot of attacks about the Supreme Court. So you talk about abortion, you talk about guns, you talk about money for funding, some funding, money that would go toward, anyway, schools of a religious nature, whether or not that's that you can use those public funds. I think the big one, one of the big ones is the Mississippi law challenge to Roe v. Wade is huge. And that case is going to be argued on December 1st. And it concerns Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban. So it's probably the biggest abortion dispute in about 30 years. I would say that. And it's a direct challenge to Roe v. Wade. Lawyers for Jackson Women's Health Organization are asking the Supreme Court to invalidate the law and uphold Roe, the 1973 landmark decision legalizing abortion nationwide prior to viability, which can occur at around 24 weeks of pregnancy. So Mississippi's act that they passed back in 2018 and has been blocked by two federal courts allows abortion after 15 weeks only in medical emergencies or for severe fetal abnormality. So the state's attorney general argued that Roe v. Wade was egregiously wrong and should be overturned. What will the conclusion be? We still have some time, certainly, on that one. Before that, Concealed and Carry, that's coming up November 3rd, and that has to do with a challenge to New York's concealed carry law. Spooky stuff next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today. Scary movie genre, you probably do. What are the scariest movies of all time? This is the popular time of year for scary movies. Although I think horror flicks in general, especially with younger people, are very big, actually. But this is the time of the year where people, maybe who normally don't even pay attention to scary movies, try to scare themselves because of Halloween. I mean, do you go way back to the 70s and The Exorcist or 1980s, The Shining? Do you know I had never seen The Shining and my nephew, who loves scary movies, said, well, I'll watch it with you. So this past summer, I saw The Shining for the very first time, and there were some really pretty spooky moments in it. I thought it was a scary movie. There's Halloween, the original from 1978. And there's The Cabin in the Woods in 2012. But your variety of scaring, and mine, our ideas of it anyway, might be a little bit different. I thought it'd be fun to have our technical maestro for the show, Jeremy Paulson, join us, because he is a movie buff. In fact, didn't you study film?
Yes, I went to school for film, yeah.
Nice. So you really are on top of this. What is your definition of a scary movie? What do you think scary?
I don't know. I grew up with a lot of... That's a tough question.
Well, here's what I think. Like, some people think scary movies are like gory movies, like Texas Chainsaw or Saw or those kinds of movies.
Yeah, and grotesque.
Yeah, that's it. Gore. Or some think the scary movie is the unexpected, where you jump
psychological
up.
Thrillers and stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Psychological thrillers. So, and then others, maybe there's more of a twist to it, a different kind of horror movie that's true, maybe a true story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just depends. I think psychological thrillers for me are the scariest, most likely. Most of I mean, I like all kinds of movies, but I would say for me, that's it. What is your scariest movie of all time?
This was a tough one for me to grasp, because I hate the anything of your favorites. Like, because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
I was going to do Candyman, because they remade it, and that's what the song was at the beginning.
Candyman, 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 Candyman. You can't say it five times.
That was the song in the beginning.
Yeah.
So I was going to do that, because I haven't seen the remake yet. I heard it's really good. I really want to see it. But I want you to tell me what this is.
I don't know. Is it Freddy?
No.
I have no idea. What movie is it?
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Ah, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I've never seen that movie.
It's hilarious because it's kind of, people don't consider it a Halloween-y movie, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's very comedic. There's a lot of funny parts to it. I used to always play it for my friends that are afraid of clowns.
You know what? A lot of guys are afraid of clowns, so it's funny you say your friends that are afraid of clowns. And that was an 88 movie, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it now that you say that, and I'll let you know what I think.
Because there's a lot of like really freaky clowns in it, so it really gets to you if you're afraid of clowns. But then again, there's a lot of really comedic in it.
Right. I don't know. It looks like it would definitely at least be funny, I think.
Yeah, like you got a tiny car with these giant clowns getting out of it. You have like,
yeah,
they make a balloon dog that they use as a sniffer, you know, like it leads them around.
Oh, I'm definitely watching that. And I'm wondering out there who thinks what is scary and what's not scary. KateDelaneyRadio.com. What is your favorite scary movie? And if you weigh in, I'll send you a copy of my tip book. It's not scary, but it's actually useful. So I said that my nephew, he's like you, he's a film major, and he likes scary movies, but he likes the psychological thrillers mostly, but he appreciates any good art. Do you think that A Nightmare on Elm Street, that was back in the mid-80s, was that scary?
I thought Freddy was very scary. He was, when I was a kid, he was the one that I was afraid of.
Freddy Krueger.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, anyone, you go to sleep, you can't stop it because you're sleeping.
Yeah. I think the idea of sleeping and being under the covers and something getting you is scary. I agree.
What about something getting you in your dreams while you're sleeping?
Well, that's even worse. I mean, any of that.
Doesn't matter where you are. You know, under covers, above covers, in a car.
You
fall asleep, he's going to get you.
Yeah, any of that is really bad stuff. I thought, I think my scariest movie, and it was because it's psychological, is Alien. Going back to the original Alien with Sigourney Weaver, which she was in all of them, but because there was a lot of jump stuff in that.
Yeah, it's another one, though. Would you consider that a Halloween movie, though?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not, just a scary movie. Right? I think if the definition of Halloween, then it sort of has to be related to Halloween in a way, right?
Like Hocus Pocus?
Yeah. Hocus Pocus is not scary, but yes, like Hocus Pocus. Oh, I'm so scared. Hocus Pocus. Is Poltergeist a Halloween scary movie?
I don't know.
It's hard to say. Scary parts in it.
Yeah. It's definitely a scary movie, but is it Halloween?
Yeah. How about The Exorcist?
Tough call.
That's a tough call. I mean, you're right. It is hard to say. It's like, what's the best horror movie ever made? What is the definition, again, of scary? And that depends for every single person. It's different as to what it is. Some people think, like, Amityville Horror, anything to do with houses that are haunted, that kind of stuff is creepy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, does it have to have a monster in it? I mean,
no,
or not?
No. Ooh,
like,
you know,
Saw Halloween?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. You know what I think is a scary one for everybody listening? I think, and I saw this movie on a rainy night, War of the Worlds, the 2005 War of the Worlds was scary with Tom Cruise. I thought it was scary.
I didn't think it was.
When people got sucked up into the thing,
Final Destination, are those scary then? Are they considered scary movies?
No. I guess I and maybe it's because so much of that was New York, New Jersey, and where I grew up. So then I'm seeing places I know, like, ugh. Wow. I know that area. And Halloween was based on Haddonfield, New Jersey. They say Haddonfield, Illinois, but it's based on Haddonfield, New Jersey. It has those big, wide streets. You know, some people think, like, the king of scary is Stephen King.
Yeah.
Right? Where you read some of his books, and he had in 2017 It, and you talk about clowns.
Yeah.
Right? And I can remember my niece.
Which the original one's way better than the.
Yeah, the original one's way better. But seeing just the advertisements for it, I can remember my niece saying, "Oh, Aunt Kate, I won't go in the basement. We were alone in a very big house." She said, "The game is down in the basement, but you have to go get it. I'm afraid of the clown." I was like, "Oh," and it was a reference to that because she had seen that commercial and she didn't. It scared her. So I said, okay.
Show her killer clowns from outer space.
Yeah, I will. Then maybe she'll laugh at that. I think it's funny.
I don't know. It's both sides, though. I mean, they are very frightening looking if you're afraid of clowns.
Yeah. And what about The Shining? Did you think Stanley Kubrick's The Shining was scary?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think there's scary moments, and I think Jack Nicholson is scary in that. He's scary. He's that crazed novelist, and he's freaky scary. He becomes freaky scary, and Shelley Duvall, to me, was pretty good in it. I don't know. So we have to continue this discussion and figure it out. I mean, you have to definitively come up with what is your definition of what is scary.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I like it. All right, thanks, Jeremy.
You're welcome.
I think what's scary is the psychological ones. But then you could mix it with something else. You know, I think there are some really good directors of that will scare you. M. Night Shyamalan would be one for me. Sixth Sense was scary to me, but it doesn't, to Jeremy's point, doesn't really fall into the Halloween scary movie. And maybe some of you listening to this are like, why are you talking about scary movies? I don't even care about scary movies. I'm more of a Disney PG, take the grandkids, take the kids, take the nieces and the nephews to a movie that everybody can enjoy and not be scared to death over. I mean, how many parents take kids to scary movies anyway? That's some food for thought. All right, stick around. A couple of great authors coming up. We're introducing them to you next in our Authors Corner.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, Exney Family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is rejecting claims by a former Facebook executive turned whistleblower that his company puts profits over the safety of its users. Zuckerberg posting on his own Facebook page a few hours ago, quote, "It's just not true." Earlier, a former company manager, whistleblower Francis Haugen, testified to senators that, in fact, the company does put its profits above the safety of users and claims Zuckerberg would rather go sailing than take responsibility.
Execution by the Red Sox!
Some defensive magic there by the Boston Red Sox in this evening's American League wild card game against the Yankees at Fenway Park. The Red Sox had some other magic moments, too. The Yankees not as many, so the Red Sox won by a final 6-2. They advance. The Yankees now play golf. This is USA Radio News. Several senators, including Connecticut's Richard Blumenthal, calling on Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg to show up to testify to Congress soon, as Blumenthal made the comment on Tuesday as a company whistleblower was under those hearing room lights under oath before the committee and accusing the leader of Facebook of, quote, going sailing instead of taking responsibility. But to Frances Hogan, the whistleblower herself, Blumenthal said,
parents are holding Facebook accountable because of your bravery, and we need to hold accountable Facebook and all big tech.
Nearly one in three U.S. adults say they may support getting rid or of limiting the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. It's according to a new survey conducted by the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania, finding 34% of Americans polled would consider abolishing the nation's highest court if it started issuing rulings that most Americans disagreed with. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
To New Zealand for a conversation with Donna Scatcherd. She's written a book called The Daisy Princess, and I'm just thinking of flowers and the significance of flowers, etc., in my life. And what an interesting children's book. So Donna, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Tell us where you are.
I live in the Coromandel, area called Papa'araha, which is a pretty special place.
Yeah, when you say it's special, people that may be hearing this in New Zealand certainly understand, but what about people in the States and the UK? Why is it special?
Oh, Papa'araha, it's just gorgeous. It's like we are surrounded in native bush, lots of pūtikawas and tea trees and mikau, and we overlook the ocean out towards Waiheke Island. Today it's not looking so beautiful. We've got rain coming in, but on a beautiful day, it's pretty special.
Yeah, I'm thinking of those tea trees and that view. Boy, I wish I was there in person speaking with you. So tell me about The Daisy Princess. What was it that sparked your imagination to write this? How did this come about?
I started writing this book about 7, maybe 8 years ago. I wasn't living in Coromandel, and I was living in Matapata, where I grew up. I just decided, I've always loved to write, actually. I've always written poetry, and I just thought, probably being a teacher as well, that I would be interested in writing a kids' book, and I remembered my personal experience when I was 5 years old, where I was growing up in a little place down in Hunter, north of the Ruhr Downs, and I used to make daisy chains sitting in the field there with my friend Louise, and we used to make these daisy chains and give them away to our friends. And when my parents decided to leave that area and they moved to Matamata, which was like a 6 hour drive away back then, and it was in the wintertime, of course, being a little 5 year old, I didn't realise that the significance of daisies. I didn't realise that winter meant that you didn't have daisies growing. I just thought that it was a horrible place because there were no daisies there, and the daisies became like the symbol of, in the story, of happiness, of just resilience and that sort of thing. And I really, really hated that new place that I lived in. I didn't like my teacher. I had my friends, and I just, and I remember my dad, he kept a story that I wrote as a little five-year-old saying that my bed had lumps in it and the curtains always blew against the windows and made me frightened. And I've still got that story, actually. But so that part, that isn't actually in the story. And anyway, when spring arrived, the daisies appeared, and all of a sudden the little girl knew that there was happiness there in the new place. And so the symbol of happiness returned to her, and all of a sudden everything was better again. And so she made daisy chains for her teacher and, yeah, her friends. And, yeah, that's basically the story.
Yeah, so when people read the story, they read it to their grandchildren, their children, or kids pick it up themselves, what do you hope they take away from reading it?
That even though sometimes things don't look like they are so good in your life, that maybe you have to find a way that makes you feel that you can overcome your fears and overcome things that you're not happy about. It's just like there is always hope there, and it might only be something really small that can help you overcome these things.
Wow. So will you write... I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Will you write another book?
Oh, yeah, I have written another book called Leo and the Pirate Ship, which is inspired by another a completely different idea. But what I do is, I'm obviously not a very experienced writer, but I find a little, something really little sometimes, and turn it into a story, and it doesn't have to be a big idea. Sometimes it can just be a really small idea, like I've written two other manuscripts which I haven't had published yet, and stuff that's come from just a little spark that just being like, oh, that's a good idea for a story.
Yeah, wow. Well, it was delightful to speak with you, and of course you can get this book on Amazon, and we look forward to some of the other things that you're working on, and I can just picture that view. Donna, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Wow, so interesting to talk about the Daisy Princess. And I was thinking about this the other day, little girls and some of the lunch boxes I've seen and some of the best princesses over the years. And I can see the Daisy Princess being right there with Buttercup. Remember Buttercup, the Princess Bride? Or you have, of course, Giselle from Enchanted. Or you have, you have... I don't know if I would consider the sand snakes princesses, but I guess in a sense. How about Tiana, the princess and the frog? That would be another one. And I can see the Daisy Princess like a, you know,
a Disney princess film. And it's not going out of style, that's for sure. You go back to back in the day for me, it was Princess Leia. And I would almost say Princess Leia was somebody that men really liked Princess Leia, her strength, etc. I know that the Hubs talks about Princess Leia, and he definitely talks about the Princess Bride movie and what that's all about. So it is interesting the images that you conjure up when you think of princesses, and you know there's so many going back to. I would consider Cinderella a princess, right? And Cinderella came out in 1950. Or how about you look at Snow White. Was Snow White a princess? That would be the version in 1934, right? Or go to the late 50s, Aurora, Sleeping Beauty, of course. So, you know, the idea of princesses, like even Diana Prince, there you go, Wonder Woman. So that would be another princess. I wonder how many of you, if we did trivia, how many of you, because you have granddaughters or nieces or, you know, just kids going to see these movies, how many of you could name some of the well-known modern princesses, and then some of the princesses that I mentioned back in the day, right? And what they did. I mean, here's the key thing. What is the image of what the princess has done? And for some of the princesses, it's different from the animated to the non-animated princesses and how they appear in the movies, like obviously Wonder Woman, that's strength and saving the world and all of that, versus maybe some of the other princesses and what their role was. And I think it's just an interesting discussion to have. So she conjured that up for sure. I think Donna's book, especially with the illustrations, is a great gift. I was thinking this the other day that I've got a shower to go to coming up here in a couple of months, and for a little girl, it's going to be a little girl, and what are the books that are new and different? And that's the whole idea of who I highlight when we do these authors here on the show. So she definitely fits that bill, and I think it's just fascinating to see what it is that get somebody to write and why they write and what they come up with, especially with children's books, because, boy, your imagination can just go wild. And I like this Daisy princess, you know, and the meanings. There's some underlying meanings that definitely, I think, can be relatable to adults too. So it's a great kind of book to read to kids. Absolutely. All right. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to this show. We got one more segment left, and that's coming up next, and that's Dan Tilley. Hang with us. You're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams,
and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than sunny-bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality-made travel pillows or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come in a wide variety of uses, apply hot or cold therapy, and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Dan Tilley is in our virtual green room, and he's part of Author's Corner. He's written a book called Absolutely Hootley, Dan and Hootley Meet the Minoans. Dan, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, sure. My pleasure to be here.
So what led you, first of all, to writing the book? Why'd you write the book?
Well, I went to Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado, and I got a political science degree. And I was, after graduating, I said to myself, okay, all this knowledge and all this stuff that I really enjoy about history, what can I do with it? And I studied a lot of ancient political thought and stuff like that. So that's when I started doing a extended study of ancient political history and thought. And I wrote it in notebooks. And, you know, I did such great authors like Grant and Isaac Asimov and a few others. So I just made I did about four or five notebooks. And then I said, you know, let's see if we can make a fun book about history. And that's basically where it started. I wanted to do something that was fun, funny, comical, but also informative.
And tell us about the book. So what is the journey in the book? So that's such an interesting background. What's the book about?
Well, the book's about really a teenager or a college student, so to speak, who has a dream. And he just got back from the library, and he's got this big reading assignment with all these books, and he's been studying ancient political history. And so he has a dream, and he meets up with, and we're in New Mexico, and geography is a lot like Greece and stuff. We're kind of in the same kind of geographical kind of situation. So he has a dream, and he meets Hootley, and Hootley is a historical guide academy graduate who is a time traveler, and Hootley is commissioned to go and save the seedling of democracy in ancient Athens. And we start out with Crete. And my thesis is that Crete is like a first thing. And just like Native Americans on the North American continent, they worship the mother, right, matriarchal societies. So we go to Crete, and I compare Crete, basically, and the Western civilization march goes to Athens, to Rome, to France, England, United States. And like I said before, you know, I didn't really want to just focus on dates. I just didn't want to make it a history book. So I've always been a musician. I started when I was like 15, playing and singing and writing songs. So I combine Cretan and Athenian figures, historical figures, with and I do that a lot with music. Steppenwolf, the Eagles, and I really combine American personalities like Tina Turner and Aretha Franklin. I have a song. I have a CD, and I have 13 songs I use that I wrote in the book. But I reference a lot of different people, Eastern deities, you know, George Harrison, stuff like that. So yeah, basically,
So when somebody reads it, it's interesting because you take us on kind of a journey where the roads are converging in different ways. What do you hope people take away from reading the book?
Well, what I hope they take away is I hope that the characters are endearing to them. I hope that everybody can identify nowadays, because Crete was big on equal rights. Women had rights. Women could vote. Women could own property, inherit. Ariadne's a master builder. She gets that from Daedalus, and everybody recognizes the character Daedalus. Whose son flew to Icarus, close to the sun. Themistocles, Aristides, and the wise Athenian youth, there's a generation gap there, where Thaletas, the singer of laws, his father's Rhadamanthus, and the older generation don't appreciate him singing the laws. And they think that should be left to statesmen. You know, there's a lot of human interaction in it. Pasiphae gets caught up with a wicked general while Minos is away, and the labyrinth enters into it. Theseus, just an incredible hero figure in history. He's part of it. There's romance. I tried to make it human and funny at the same time. And Hoodley's a donkey. You know, every chance he gets to eat, he does. You know, and Dan, being his, he's basically, Hoodley's a guide through history, and Dan is always complaining, and they're always arguing. You know, we cover stories like the shadow, you know, concepts like the shadow, and stuff like that. We go through a lot of different things that I learned in school, but I didn't want to say it in a traditional way. I didn't want to say, okay, what year did this happen, or how did this go? I wanted Dan and Hoodley, through their comical collaboration, through history. But I also wanted to, point out, why America is so great, and why Crete, the different things that happened in Crete and Athens. Madison referenced Athens as a chance for democracy in America. I wanted to reference what those people did, Cleisthenes, political districts instead of just tribes. I want them to come away feeling a personal connection to the characters and Crete as a starting point, just like Native Americans on this continent, when people came over to this continent, Native Americans, helped them with food and this and that. The Cretans were they were very fun-loving people. They have a good time. Minos has the greatest navy in history. or the first great Navy in history, and it really adds to the to what the people feel secure. But then, and I mythology is a big part of the book. I want them to delve into the mythology of it. And I have gods and goddesses, but mixed into that is the human, just the human element. And I reference America a lot. I reference a lot of music.
In the book, it's interesting because you say it in the introduction, we can hear it in what you're talking about. You have a passion for history, but you didn't want to make it where it was one of those books where there is, like you said, the human elements missing in it. Mm-hmm. And you said that in the introduction. You say when you're teaching history, you realize that there were time periods that were underreported. And
that's
so true. When I think about, I love history, and when I think about even the college courses that I had, very specific and down one road.
Right. And it's, yes, and it's really boxes you in, and pretty soon you're like, oh, you know.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you have how'd you come up with Hootley being a donkey?
Well, you know, there I was. It was like 1994. I had just gotten married, and my wife and I had bought a house. And, I know I'm leading up to it here, and I digress. But I just thought donkeys, I was just so taken by them. They're so funny, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hee-haws, their stubbornness, like on Crete. You know, donkeys were called Noisy, you know, so I have Noisy Senior and I have Hootley. Hootley's related to Noisy Senior. And I just think they're they kind of remind me of us, you know. They want to do certain things and they're going to let you know it, you know. And so I just thought it would be more comical.
Yep, and it is comical, absolutely. Absolutely Hootley. Dan and Hootley Meet the Minoans. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Dan, it's interesting. It's interesting the way your mind works and again, that passion for history and what somebody can pick this book up, I think, at any point and pick out that piece of history. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note also, Kate, that I'm republishing it. And I reworked it, and I tried to Agarwood Publishing is the one I'm republishing with.
Great.
And there's also a few other books too. But I'd like people to go to the new edition because I've made some changes, and I think they needed to be made. It was my first attempt.
Gotcha.
So Agarwood Publishing, yeah.
So look
would
for
be
that
the one.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Well, thanks for coming on, and thanks to everybody for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
Thanks, Kate.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get for my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.